Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Last week in our study on Ephesians chapter 4, we were talking about Bible doctrine and duty as being twin blessings for the local church. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We're reminded of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, "There all Scripture is given by inspiration of God." In other words, every word of God is God-breathed. That's why none of it is lost. That's why it's all been preserved. And I believe in the Masoretic text of the Hebrew and the Old Testament and the Textus Receptus of the New Testament, by which our good old King James Bible is translated. And that's why we use a King James, because it's the right translation. And whether people say they understand it or not, I don't know. Goodness gracious, I've been reading that thing since I was just a little kid. And there were things I could understand as a little kid in the Bible. So I don't know if that really holds water, but really, the Bible lets us know the Holy Spirit's supposed to teach us the Word. If we'd listen to the Holy Spirit, we would learn. Now he says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now, that's what the preacher's supposed to use this word for: teach doctrine, to reprove, to correct, and to instruct in righteousness. In other words, to instruct in the things you're supposed to do. That's the area that people say they get beat up when the preacher says, "You need to be faithful, you need to be witnessing, you need to do this and do that, and if not, it's sin." Well, that's instruction in righteousness. "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And so the perfecting or the equipping is through the word of God. And this, by context, has Bible doctrine in view. And by the way, when we get to verse 14, we'll see that that's true in this text. You're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, the sleight of men. Okay? So we'll see that when we get there. Bible doctrine and duty are twin blessings for the local church and the individual Christian. The Lord gave these gifts to the church that each of his followers should serve him. That service through the local church must continue as long as the church remains on earth. And then he goes on to add, not only is this for the perfecting of the saints, but for the work of the ministry. The word ministry is from the same Greek word used for deacon. It means a ministration in the Christian community viewed with reference to the labor needed for others. Now, both in the case of individuals and generally, it is a total concept of the body. For example, in Acts chapter 6, we say this is where the first deacons were recorded because it uses the Greek word there that's used here. But the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And so they elected seven men. Now, there were thousands in Jerusalem. The seven men weren't elected to do all the work. They were elected to direct the work of feeding the widows and all and making sure that everything was taken care of in a right manner. Now, we'll see that the church is not built through recreation, entertainment, programs, and methods. Rather, it is built up by and through the Word of God. We often call the pastor of a church a minister. But if you are a Christian, You are as much a minister as he is. You do not have to be ordained to be a minister. You see, these ministers work under the pastor, and they go out to visit the fatherless, as James 1:27 tells us. They visit the sick, and they witness the gospel, as 1 Corinthians 4:15 says. In short, the work of the ministry is the work needed in the local church to carry on its ministry. Now, it's a shame that today people feel that they have hired the pastor as their hired gun to do the work they're supposed to do, visiting the fatherless, the sick, and witnessing the gospel. And yes, the pastor's supposed to do the work of an evangelist. He is to witness the gospel, but not in lieu of the rest of the church. All are called to be witnesses for our Lord. The responsibility of the pastor is to preach and teach the word to mature Christians in order to do the work of the local church. Now, no man in the church has all the gifts, not even the pastor. He has brought us to our local church and gifted us to work together for the glory of God. Be as critical of your own work, your own commitment, and your own quality of service as you are of the pastor. You might say, well, Brother Andy, God expects more of the pastor. And that's true. But remember, it is God, not you, that has that expectation. All believers need to be trained in the Word of God so they can do the work of the ministry. A ministry that you can do that has no tie to the Word of God is not a ministry. And we just used one of the illustrations of visiting the fatherless, and that is a part of ministry. Now, for the edifying of the body of Christ is the next part of verse 12. Again, it is the responsibility of a pastor to provide biblical equipping for the saints, that they may minister and together build up the church in a spiritual manner by learning to edify one another. One of the reasons that we have put together the Building Blocks booklet that I have that's 10 chapters long, that is designed for new converts as well as new church members. It has things in there that many old church members need to see as well. But we put together 10 chapters with questions at the end of each chapter, kind of a workbook form. We put that together so that people could not only grow themselves, but they could, in turn, they could begin to minister to others one-on-one and have a discipleship ministry. And that's part of what we're trying to do. This building up comes through souls being saved, baptized, and added to the church, and then taught to observe whatsoever he has commanded us. In Hebrews 10:24-25, he says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Now, what are the two things as fellow church members we're to provoke one another to do? Well, we're to provoke one another to love and to do good works. By the way, that's one another. That's church members. And then it goes into the next verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Now, in context, we should exhort each other daily if we believe in the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be faithful to the assembling. It's interesting to me of this idea of provoking one another to faithfulness and to love and to good works. Back in the first century, in the Roman Empire in Rome, they just didn't like girl babies. And there were many, if they had a baby girl, they just abandoned the baby. Do you realize that many baby girls were not added into the family records or genealogies? They just weren't important. It had to be a boy. Now, that's the way it was in the first century. And some of these Romans, when they had a baby girl, they would just put the baby in the street and let the baby lay there. Well, Christians of that day just had a heart filled with the love of God. And so they would rescue these babies. Matter of fact, the Roman authorities back in that day started making it against the law to rescue those babies that had been abandoned. And these Christians, even though it was against the law to rescue children and babies, they would go out there and rescue those babies. But that's what love does, and that's what good works does. It's even willing to put itself in peril to accomplish the ministry. And so, we are to win the soul to Christ, get them baptized, and then teach them to observe all that He's commanded. One preacher stated it this way, win them, wet them, and work them. And I kind of like that little outline. Now, in Ephesians 4:13, as we continue our study, he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, we are to come into the unity of the faith. Notice, we are not to make the faith come into the unity of the flesh. We are not to make the faith to come into a unity with us. We are told to come to the unity of the faith. You see, the unity is already there. There's not a basis, there's not an agreement being drawn up on which we can unify. The agreement's already there. It is the Word of God. The unity's already there. We must be reconciled to God, not God to us. There is a difference. God is reconciling men to Himself. But He's not reconciling Himself to man. The unity is Bible doctrine, and none of the Word of God, no Bible doctrine, is negotiable. You must simply decide to agree with all of it, that's unity with God, or go your own way and have unity with man. Now, that's the choice. The word till has the idea of as far as, unto, or until. The point is, we keep going as far as, unto, or till we see the great end realized. Doctrinal unity with God. And notice, he says, till we all come into the unity of the faith. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.